Welcome to Teacher in Zion Podcast.
I've had some trouble trying to figure out exactly what I need to talk about this week. And it's not because of a lack of subject matter, but too much. Too many things going on, too much information, too much new revelation, understanding, things that the Lord is doing. And so many things we could talk about. And so for me, it was tough trying to narrow down what needs to be talked about, what the priority is. And I think this is probably the most important, more relevant thing that needs to get out. And because of a message that was sent to me this morning confirming that. So we're going to go ahead and proceed with talking about the coming move of God, the tsunami wave that is coming and is probably now here. So this morning I got a message from a friend of mine. I'll call her Amber. I don't have permission to use her name. She doesn't want to be public, but Amber is someone who opened up her house for worship. She was a member of the IHOP, International House of Prayer, the church, the Forerunner Church. She is now involved with the Convergence Hub group, which is in Independence, Missouri. So she is a part of, I guess, the charismatic movement of evangelicals. One of the things that I discovered about her right away when my wife and I began to worship in her and her husband's home is that she had a prophetic ministry. And I recognized that ministry right off the bat. And early on in our meetings that we would do once a week, I shared with them the dream I had of a tsunami wave as being symbolic of a coming move of God. And so she shared with me her dream of a tsunami wave. And she does hear the Holy Spirit very well. And she has received numerous things about my wife and myself, even though she really doesn't know anything about my religious or church background at all. And yet she has received many prophetic words and revelations. And when she would receive these, she would write them down and give them to us. And recently, I discovered all those little pieces of paper that were inserted into one of my Bibles. And I got them out and began to read them and was blown away by the accuracy because of much of what she wrote that was prophetic in terms of what was soon to come has come to pass. And in fact, some of those things seemed unlikely, and yet they did come to pass very much the way that she said they would. And she had the dream about a coming tsunami wave. She knew that it was a move of God. And in the dream, she was on like a surfboard and the wave was so high, it scared her. And because of her fear, she wanted to get down off the wave and rode it back down toward the bottom where the rest of the people were at. And I had received that the Lord was trying to communicate to her that he wanted her to ride this wave, and this is part of her prophetic calling, but that most people were down along the ground, and because of her fear, she was reluctant to be up so high. She is a very humble person, and she does not think more of herself than she ought to, by any stretch of the imagination. And I believe that this wave is the Lord lifting her up into her ministry, as it will lift all ministries that are based on the Lord and not on ourselves or propped up by some religion or some church organization. All true ministries are to rise in this, but our fears can keep us back. And so what we have to do is have faith and have trust and be encouraged and also have a degree of confidence. And that's tricky. Because we right away want to think confidence is pride. But hear me out. Not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in the Lord, in what he has shared with us, in the calling that he has given us, and knowing that he is our strength, and without him we can do nothing. And so our confidence is not to be in ourselves, but in him. Well, this morning, Amber reached out to me And she shared with me a vision, a post from a friend of hers from Joplin, Missouri. And his first name is Andrew. And very briefly, before I go on and share what she shared with me this morning, I'm going to share with you the dream I had of a tsunami wave years ago. In case you haven't seen the video, I'm going to play just a part of it here very briefly and then explain a couple things. And then I'm going to share with you the additional confirmation that I got this morning from another person who had had a similar vision.
In 2007, I had a dream. I was wading out into the ocean. And to my right, about 500 feet away or so, just offshore, there was this old-style wooden sailing vessel full of people. It looked like a carrack, which was a large merchant ship, like the Mayflower. And one of the people on that ship called out to me, "Do you think we'll make it?" When I heard the question, I looked back out to sea, and what I saw astonished me. It was a gigantic wall of water just towering over us. It was a huge tsunami, but I had no fear at all. And without any real anxiousness in my heart, I turned back to this man and I said, "Probably not with this one." Before I knew it, I had popped up safely on the other side of the wave. The wave came and then suddenly I was on the other side. Now, I don't know what happened to the people on the ship, what they experienced, whether it was a hardship for them losing their ship. Whether it was hard or whether it was easy, I don't know what they experienced, but many of them popped up on the other side as well, out into the middle of the ocean, but minus their ship. I could see pieces of that ship floating in the water, debris.
And so when I woke up from this dream, the Holy Spirit was very much present with me. And as I lay there and contemplated what I had seen and all that I had felt, I began to recognize that ship, the old wooden style sailing ship, represented the traditions of men, and it really represented our church denominations, because these are the vehicles in which we have tried to use to get to the promised land. And we're not going to get there that way. We're not going to be able to climb on board some church organization that you think is the right one and ride it to the promised land. Because none of those ships are going to make it. Only individuals will get to make it. And it is based on God's judgment alone. It is based on our relationship, our personal relationship with Him alone. I don't care if you have a temple recommend. I don't care if you're a member in good standing in whatever church you're in. I don't care if you pay your tithes. I don't care if you drink coffee. None of those things get us into the kingdom. None of those things assure us that we will be there. But by reliance in Christ alone. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, they kept the law. And likewise, if we keep the law of the church, we can still not even know the Lord Jesus Christ. And He may not even know us if we do not have a relationship with Him, if we do not hear His voice. If He is not leading us by His Spirit, but we're being led by men, then we have no relationship with Him. And so it's time to climb out of those boats or be prepared to have those boats smashed to pieces. And if you'll cling to the Lord, even Jesus, you'll come up the other side. But just know that if we cling on to those things of this earthly world that hold us back, it'll probably be a little rougher. Now, by all means, that is not to say that if you believe the Holy Spirit is leading you to stay in a particular congregation, church organization, as a witness or to share or to be a beacon of truth and light, then that is what you need to do. But know this one truth, that regardless of what earthly church organization you're a part of, what really matters is that you are a member in good standing in the only true church, the only church of Jesus Christ that exists. And that church is a spiritual church. And it knows no denominational walls. And all that matters is whether you have a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. And if He is your Lord, then you're a member of that church. And if you're a member of that church, and if I'm a member of that church, then we're in the same church. And if we cling to the Savior above all, then rather than worrying about what church we're in, we will be the church. For the church is, after all, the body of Christ. Okay, now I want to share with you what was sent to me this morning when I woke up. And this is a post that a man named Andrew, he's from Joplin, Missouri, shared. And it goes like this. There is a wave coming. Do you see it? A few months ago, a dear intercessor I know came to me, saying while in praying, she saw this wave in the Spirit coming. This vision caught my attention. I knew there was importance within this. So I began taking this in prayer, seeking the counsel of the Lord regarding it. Over the months, I was reminded of the wave prophetically through words, pictures, and scripture. The Lord kept this wave fresh in my mind to not lose sight of it. I knew this was something to be released openly, but was waiting for the Lord to release it. While in prayer, I saw this wave appear before me. This was no simple wave. This wave was huge. By looking at the wave, you could see that great power was in this wave. I knew that this was a wave of the glory of the Lord. It would be glorious, depending on your view of the wave. If not in position, you wouldn't be able to see this wave with spiritual eyes, but only with natural. As I saw this wave, my attention was directed towards the shore. I could see hundreds standing on the shore. The ones on the shore had no awareness of the wave that was coming. Then I could see many in the water, but they were facing towards the shore with no regard to what was behind them. Then I could see some facing towards the wave, but they were on paddle boards. They were aware the wave was coming, but were not equipped to ride the wave, but believed they were. Lastly, I could see few with surfboards, waiting for the sign to start paddling to catch the wave. I began praying over this vision, and this urgency came over me. Out from my spirit burst forth this cry, "The wave is here, stand up! The wave is here, it's time to catch the wave!" I was speaking it repeatedly. I was standing on top of the wave, shouting out, "The wave is coming. Stand up and ride the wave. Start paddling to catch the wave." The wave began to crash. The wave crashed and wiped out everything in its path. This wave of glory brought the fear of the Lord and wiped out the fear of man. Those who stood up to ride the wave rode onto shore and were ready to serve. Those who sat on paddle boards were caught by the crashing of the wave. They were caught in the undertow and got battered by the wave. They were washed up on shore. Many came out with broken limbs and head wounds. The ones on the shore were nowhere to be seen. Unlike the ones who rode the wave, they were carried away by the wave. Some of the ones who rode onto the shore were helping those hurt by the wave. Others kept walking inland to find those who were washed away. The ones who were hurt had to remain on the shore to tend to their wounds and heal. Some could never leave the shore due to the severity of their wounds. I am here to say, stand up. The wave is here. A wave of the Spirit is upon us. Do you see it? If you're not in position, you will not see the wave as the Lord intends it. To see the wave is to know the Lord. To ride the wave is to surrender all. This wave that is coming is only for those who know Him intimately. The Lord is saying it is time to stand up and catch the wave. There is time to grab your board. There is time to catch the wave. The wave is here. It is time to ride. Okay, and one of the reasons I wanted to share this and why I was excited about it, and just a brief pause here, I need to also share that after I shared my dream with Amber and she shared her dream with me, We then saw a number of wave, tsunami dream, prophetic dreams, visions being shared on YouTube by other people. And so, you know, the Lord says in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he establish his word. And so up to this point, we had about four or five different witnesses confirming this truth and this understanding, this prophetic vision. And now this one comes along. And why I wanted to share this one and why it was exciting to me was that for the last few weeks, the dream I had of the tsunami wave has been coming back to me repeatedly on my heart and in my mind. And when that is happening, and I don't know why it's happening, it's usually because the Lord is trying to get my attention and he's trying to communicate something. And as this dream is coming back to me, this dream I had a number of years ago, back around, I think, 2007. And so it's been a while. But the vision of this dream has been coming to me again and again. And with it is this thought or this impression that I've had that this is no longer just something that's coming down the pike. It's no longer something in the distant future. The feeling and the impression I've been getting is that the time is now, that it is now coming, that we need to prepare. And in fact, kind of bouncing off of Mandy's dream where she was on a surfboard, I was getting another very strong impression in my heart and in my mind, one that I've shared now in several places in the last couple weeks. And now I want to share it with you here. I also shared it with Jacob Isbell when he was interviewing Michael Barrett and I. And that is that the church, God's people, or those who call themselves by his name, have very much, over the years, been trying to generate our own wave under our own power to try to propel ourselves forward, and it's failed. And I can tell you that for those in the independent restoration branches and in the various congregations and church organizations that came out of the RLDS background, that for us, we have been working at trying to generate a wave for a very long time to try to propel ourselves forward to accomplish those things that we feel we're supposed to be able to accomplish, asking God to bless it. But we are not able to generate a wave sufficient to accomplish anything. And so what I've been getting and what I've been sharing is that we need to forget about trying to generate our own wave. Our own works, our own dead works, our own efforts at trying to build Zion, they've all failed. And what we need to do instead is catch the wave that God is sending, to have our surfboards ready and begin to paddle and catch this wave and ride the wave of God. It's his wave and he's generating it. And it's only by his power that we can be propelled forward and have those things accomplished, because he's the one who's going to do the work. He goes before us, and we each will have our part to play, our role to play. But we have to ride his wave. We have to get off our own wave. And so here this morning, I wake up and here's this vision. And this man has prayed and he had a vision. And now he is seeing that we need to get on our surfboards and be ready and start paddling because the wave is now here. So I find that very encouraging and another confirmation. Now, I also want to share just a little bit about what I see in this vision that he had. That there were four distinct groups listed in this vision. They are the ones standing on the shore, and they had no awareness of the wave. And what I was getting is the water represents the word of God. And so these people on the shore, they're near the water, but they're not in the water. They're not in the word. And that word is not just the scriptures, but even the word made flesh. They are not in Christ. They are not in his spirit. And because they are at the shoreline, it may even be possible that these may even say that they believe. Perhaps they were raised in a church, but church or following God has not really been their priority in life. The shoreline represents the world and its ways. And so they're pursuing the things of the world. They're not in the water of the word. They're not wading in. And the second group are those who are in the water. They're wading into the water a little bit, but they have their back to the coming wave. They're looking towards the shore. And so here are people that are going to church. They're in the Word to some degree, right? They're wading in it. Maybe they have a shallow relationship with the Lord or a shallow relationship with the Word. But pay attention to the fact that they are facing the shoreline. And so what that tells me is that their primary focus is not the Lord. It's not on the coming move of God, but instead it's looking to the ways of the world. It's looking after those things, riches perhaps. It could be investing in the things of the world, putting our focus there, putting our hope and trust there, looking to those things, whether they be riches or politics or whatever it is, the ways of the world. And so they are not aware of the coming wave. And then there are those who legitimately are headed out into the water, but they are on paddle boards. Now, if you know anything about a paddleboard, it's basically kind of like a surfboard, usually a little wider, but you get up and you stand on these things and you just paddle like with a kayak. And generally speaking, paddleboards are used in calm waters. They're on a lake or someplace. It's a very calm and serene sport. And so those people, as it says in his writing, are not equipped. And I have to wonder if that doesn't mean that they're missing certain truth or understanding. They just don't really quite know the Lord the way they should. They don't really understand what he's about to do. Perhaps they're expecting calm and tranquil waters because they're expecting everything to happen the way they've been told it will happen, according to the traditions of their church, according to the traditions that have been taught them by their fathers, by their pastors, by their church leaders. And so when this wave hits, they're not going to be expecting it. And paddle boards are not equipped to handle waves, especially a tsunami wave. And finally, there are those with the surfboards, and those are designed to ride the wave. But to ride a wave, you've got to start paddling right before the wave comes. And I think there's an inherent truth in this that we need to grab hold of, is that even before this wave actually hits us to the point where we feel it, we need to begin paddling now. And so to me, that means drop everything that you think is important that isn't really important. All the striving for the things of this world, those things need to be put on a back burner. You need to put the Lord first by drawing closer, ever closer to the Lord, surrendering everything, giving it all to him. I also believe that we're going to have to go beyond faith and put our faith into action. There is a way of holiness that we need to pursue. And so if we're caught up in certain sins, in certain attitudes, in certain ways that are unlike Christ, we need to be conformed to his image. And it's important that we prepare in this way, that we are equipped properly. And I believe this is a part of what it means to be paddling even before the wave hits, so we can catch it and ride on it. So depending on your perspective, depending on who you are and where you are and how prepared you are for this, either you're going to ride this thing under the glory of God to his purposes, and to be a light to this world, and to truly be a testimony and a witness to the world that God is alive, that Jesus is alive, that he is the God of Israel and the God of the whole world and the Savior of all those who will fall to their knees and serve him. Those who are not prepared may get hurt, and some will be washed away and not know where they are. But notice that there is a rescue mission that is mounted. And so if you don't want to have to spend time in the spiritual hospital, so to speak, healing from the fact that you were not prepared for what was coming. And again, this is not a physical preparation, but really a spiritual one. It is only by knowing him that we can survive what is coming. And it is only by knowing him that we will overcome all of these things and rise above the things of this world, rise above the tragedies, rise above the disasters, both spiritual and physical. And all of this kind of comes together with my trip down to Florida recently on the night of the Super Bowl when the Kansas City Chiefs won again. As I'm sitting there contemplating the original Kansas City Chiefs prophecy by Bob Jones and its meaning and its intent in regards to a worldwide revival, a coming move of God, and even the glory of God breaking forth upon his people, which is all tied into these visions. But here we are, we have that prophecy, and now here the Chiefs are winning for the third time, and I'm wondering, when will we see this revival break out? And it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit just took hold of me and said, it has already begun. And then I was shown that it is already breaking forth, but that I'm expecting it to just suddenly, overnight, be this huge thing that is undeniable. But the truth is that these things take place over time and that this revival will build up. And so it is in these small details. It is in the things that God is doing with individuals. It is in the things that God is doing with certain groups or congregations that he is bringing them to the point to receive these things, to get free of the traditions of men, the errors of men, and to find their liberty in him, and for his Spirit to be able to begin to work among us in a greater capacity. And it is like a wave coming, and we're already paddling ahead of it, and we need to keep paddling, and we need to be ready, and we need to expect that wave, and we need to be ready to ride it. We need to get on his wave. Don't worry about the vain attempts of men that have failed. They will continue to fail. And in fact, this wave is going to smash everything the smithereens that man is attempting to do under his own power, under his own wisdom. And so let us cling to God and what he is doing. And I am very excited because we are truly coming into those days that we have longed for. And yet, even as this vision suggests, the vast majority of people will not see it coming until it's too late. And so I pray that we will not be those who do not see it coming, or furthermore, that we will be like the paddleboarders and be ill-equipped when it does come. Amen. Before we conclude the podcast, I want to share this new book from Stephen Horn, a friend of mine. He sent this to me. I very much enjoyed this book. He never asked me to talk about this book or share it in any way, shape, or form, but I'm just taking this opportunity right now. It's entitled Let Freedom Ring, The Moral Foundations of a Free Society, Stephen Horn. I'll include a link where you can purchase this or look it up in the description of the video below. Until next time. God bless.